This is the anthem. Here's what you came for.
Welcome to the Disney Beat, a podcast brought to you by thedizinsider.com. My name is Sean Nyberg, and I will be covering all of the Disney headlines to keep you informed as you start your week. All right, well, hello there. This is Sean Nyberg, and this podcast is being recorded on the evening of Sunday, October 25th, 2020. All right, let's do this. Let's dive into the news. So on the park side, last Tuesday at noon, California, the state of California, finally announced the long-awaited theme park reopening guidelines. And let me tell you, it was not good news for the Disneyland Resort. The state announced that large parks like Disneyland could reopen, but only when their home county reached Tier 4 status, which is the lowest COVID-19 risk level. The tier is colored yellow. Disneyland's home county is Orange County, and they currently are in Tier 2, so they would have to improve their COVID-19 infection rates substantially and for a sustained period of time before they could improve enough to allow them to reopen. Orange County is currently in the 4 to 7 new daily COVID-19 cases per 100,000 people range. That's where they are right now. But they need to improve to a much better, less than 1 new daily COVID-19 case per 100,000 people. It is uncertain how long that will take, but it seems like this will not be happening anytime soon, and no one is anticipating that it will be anytime soon. So, whenever this is, that the parks could reopen, they would need to keep attendance caps at 25%, which is what they're currently doing at Walt Disney World. They're going to require masks, and there would be, you know, a large number of other restrictions that, you know, we go on and on about in terms of social distancing markers and how you order food and where you pick it up and all that stuff. But for right now, we just need to get into that zone. And so the citizens of Orange County, it's up to them to really follow these guidelines and get these numbers down so that the park can open and people can get back to work, right? And people can get back to the magic. But they're not going to do it or allow them to do it until the numbers get down. So it's up to you, Southern California. It's up to you. So as expected, though, Disney was not happy and released a statement from Disneyland President Ken Potrock, who called the guidelines arbitrary and unworkable. The mayor of Anaheim also publicly blasted these strict guidelines, and he pointed out that while the city of Anaheim will survive and the Disney company will survive this, the small businesses that rely on the traffic and, you know, the people that Disneyland draws to the area will not survive this. You know, these smaller hotels, these restaurants that are just outside of the park where people who are leaving the park, who want to get some food, just those kind of businesses can't sustain themselves during this lockdown phase. And even if they're allowed to open, even if these businesses are allowed to open on the periphery, no one's walking around that town. No one's walking around that area because Disneyland's not open. So, they're really struggling. And, you know, I know Disney says, like, they you know, they care about them too. But, I mean, honestly, Disney cares about themselves and getting their workers back to work, right? But the mayor of Anaheim is concerned about Disney, but also concerned about all the other businesses. So, basically, you know, everyone in that little area really wants these to be reconsidered. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. So, I think the fastest way to get that park open is to get, you know, community action and get some good behaviors, and exhibit some good behaviors so other people will follow you and encourage good behaviors and get those numbers down. So, just had to get that out there. And so, you know, I wrote here, and I just, you know, I said, obviously the guidelines were established with public health in mind, right? So we can get caught up in this Disney news. We can get so caught up in and being mad at Governor Newsom, right? And being mad at the lockdown or the restrictions. But it's also important to know that this isn't just for no reason. These guidelines were established with public health in mind. And all of this is a consequence of the COVID-19 pandemic. So if those of you who are close to Disneyland in terms of either working for them or living in the area and you're truly devoted to reopening, getting the Disneyland Resort to reopen, then the public around you needs to start heeding advice from public health officials and get the numbers down. Sadly, until then, we will continue to see Disneyland closed and we'll continue to see even more cast members being laid off. That's not going to just, you know, we're not going to tap, we're not going to hit the ceiling of cast members being laid off just because they said 28,000 are going to get laid off. If people continue to stop being safe and this continues to spread and we start getting growth instead of diminishing numbers, then they're going to have to start laying off even more people. People that have been told their jobs are currently safe, they're going to be at risk. So yes, you know, petition the government. It's our constitutional right. But at the same time, also petition your neighbor. Petition your neighbor, because that is what we need to do, is to get our fellow man to follow some suggestions. And then this thing could be turned around if we could just take some simple action. So I will get off my little high horse on that. But, you know, it's pretty much common sense. But a little bit of the good news, Disney has announced that they will be opening up Buena Vista Street in Disney's California Adventure for retail and dining starting in November. So those of you who are park aficionados like myself might cringe at this, but for those of you who are not, like, if you don't know exactly where Buena Vista Street, is in in Disney California Adventure, think of it as their main street. It's kind of, you know, it's that street. You walk in, it's got Carthay Circle there. It's got Big Top Toys on your left. There's shops, there's restaurants. And so what they're doing is they're going to open that part up and they're going to expand Downtown Disney into there. So you don't need a ticket to go in, and they're going to let you shop and eat and just kind of hang out there. What this does is it opens up the footprint for Downtown Disney, because Downtown Disney has been open now for a few months to allow for people to shop and eat and stuff, because it falls into, I think the category is called outdoor mall. It falls into the outdoor mall category. And what is happening is so many people just want to get near Disneyland that they come to Disney, Downtown Disney, which is normally, like, you know, kind of busy, but it's just getting packed because that's all they got to go to. So fans are coming there, they're shopping, they're eating, yes, but they're also just coming. And what happens is that because of COVID, there's a maximum amount of people that they allow into the area. So they have to sometimes shut off the entrance and hold people back until people leave, and then they can start adding people back in. And that's been happening more and more. And they did open up that one, that one Hollywood shop, that was kind of I talked about it, I believe, 2 weeks ago, maybe last week. It's just this big hangar that's like a big empty building that they use for, it's a multi-use building. And they turned it into another shop there to expand the footprint so they could let more people in. And this, what they're doing right now by opening up Buena Vista Street, is going to give them a bigger footprint, which means they're going to be allowed to have more people, because the amount of people, the capacity is based on the square footage. And it also gives shoppers and fans access to some stores that were in California Adventure, not in Downtown Disney. So they'll have new things that they could purchase, which is good for the customer, because they can have access to stuff that they couldn't get anywhere else. And it's good for Disney, because that means they have more stuff they can sell. And it's good for, you know, them to have more food items purchased, all that stuff. So it's not ideal, but it was a great decision by Disney to do that. I did hear, I don't know if this is exactly how far down they're going to go, but I did hear that they're going to extend it down towards Grizzly Peak, you know, down that area towards kind of towards Grand Californian Hotel, down to about where Smoke Jumpers is, which isn't that far in there, but just I think down to there so they can open Smoke Jumpers. There's a lot of outdoor seating there, and it's kind of a unique kind of food. Like it's burgers and stuff, but it's unique. And so I think they're going to open up out to there. They'll have churro stands and snack stands. And I believe they're going to go, I don't know exactly how, I believe they're stopping at the entrance to Hollywoodland. So I do hope that this goes smoothly and the guests are happy and Disney's happy with that they're getting new sources of income, because I could see them moving the border down to past Schmoozy's there on in Hollywoodland, you're down past Schmoozy's. So people can go to Schmoozy's and go to Award Wieners, and then they can go to Off the Book. I think it's called Off the Book. It's that store there that's right next to the Art of Animation building, and they have all the, all the more how-to or just cartoon animation type books in there. You know, I think that would be awesome to get that open up, because there's some really unique and some really exclusive stuff in that store. So, we'll see. And now, as someone who graduated law school and practiced law for years, I can tell you that there's a really interesting, almost like a law school question or bar exam question here. Like, at what point does opening these theme park streets go from opening up restaurants and shops because it's an outdoor mall to that? At what point do you cross a threshold where it becomes, now you just open the theme park, you know? And it's a fast, you know, and it's not a clear line. You know, I doubt that the definition of a theme park in the California statute says, you know, one dark ride, you know? So, like, could they have street performers? Well, they have no rides, but do they have street performers? You know, what if they have characters coming around the restaurants that are open, you know? And so that starts getting a little murky, and I would see if it doesn't look like there's any movement in terms of the COVID-19 numbers in a good direction, I could start to see Disney really trying to like maybe kind of bump up to that line a little bit, you know, and see how far they can go, because they want to keep their customers happy. They want to make money off the sale of the food and the gifts, you know, and stuff at the stores, the clothing and all that stuff. You know, and they also want to bring a little bit of magic, a little bit of Disney. You know, it's important for a company like this to keep their brand in their customers' heads. So anyway, it'll be really interesting. And I'm going to probably do a story on this in the next week or so, you know, really look over the fine print and just try to find out like how far could the Disneyland Resort push itself to where they could claim they were just an outdoor mall. And where I see they would get a problem in terms of becoming a theme park, you know? I think we all could agree that, you know, they start opening up their rides, that's definitely a theme park. But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of gray area in between there. So anyway, that's what's going on in California, Southern California. So not great news. Looks like Disney is going to be, Disney is starting to open some more stuff up just to, you know, provide some more space so more people can come in and give some of their guests and their fans some more, getting them a little closer to the magic. So anyway, the Walt Disney World Resort, which is over in Florida, the Walt Disney World Resort continues to operate with all four parks open. They've been operating since the summer. However, though, they are not immune to the fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic. A rumor from a reliable source was leaked this last week that two major attractions that are being built were going to have their opening dates pushed into 2022. The first being the Tron roller coaster. I mean, that's not what they call it. I believe it's Tron Light Cycle, but the Tron roller coaster is what I'm going to call it, is being built currently in Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom. The ride is a duplicate of the Shanghai Disneyland version. So if you've either been out there, you've seen videos of it on YouTube. This is just the, it's a duplicate version. It's funny because there's been some construction, and then of course with COVID-19, everything kind of grinded to a halt. And then recently construction started really picking up pretty quickly. And, it's an indoor outdoor, a roller coaster. It's primarily outdoors. Like there's the stuff that would be like indoor is covered by canopies, but it's still kind of indoor outdoor, right? You can see a lot of it from outside. So they were doing a lot. We could see a lot of construction happening. So a lot of people are, rightfully so, were thinking, oh, they're making really good progress. This might get done in 2021, prior to the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary. Well, according to this rumor, and again, this is just a rumor, but it's a rumor from a source that tends to be right when they put their name on the line or the reputation on the line. So this is why we're reporting. We are hedging that it is a rumor because we haven't heard from it from Disney, or I haven't spoken to anyone in Imagineering myself to verify. But anyway, that's the belief, is that this Tron roller coaster is going to be put off until 2022. And they are going to continue through the end of this year to build the outside, the shell of the ride. So it looks good from Magic Kingdom and parts of Tomorrowland and stuff. So it looks pretty, but they're going to not do any work on the inside. They're going to kind of stop what they're doing. They're going to waterproof it. They're going to get it looking nice and waterproof and windproof it. And then it's just going to sit like that through most of 2021. And then come October of 2021, then they're going to get back into it and finish up the inside of it and have it ready for 2022. So that's just where we are. We, again, no confirmation. Sounds realistic, but it goes hand in hand with the other rumor of a different ride called the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which is going to be out in Epcot. That ride as well was supposed to, I don't know if they had an exact day announced, but obviously with COVID-19 pandemic, it was pushed back. Another big issue they had was they have a lot of parts of the pre-show and parts of the ride that required filmed, filming with the characters. And what they do when they do that, what they like to do is that they're working on a new Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So when they have all the lighting, the sound, the makeup, the wardrobe, the actors, the director, they're there for the movie. Then they take a little break and they film some pieces for the ride. So that was the plan, but COVID-19 obviously postponed a lot of these movies, the production of these movies. So they weren't being worked on. I don't even know if they even are starting to be worked on yet. So a lot of things are kind of against this ride. But the good stuff for this ride is it is primarily, it's almost exclusively indoors, and it's a new ride. Like we don't have anything, like it's not like it's a replica of any other ride. And most of it, like I said, almost all of it is inside. So once they get the outside done looking nice, we're not going to have any idea what's going on the inside unless someone leaks something. But you know what I'm saying? Like we're not going to be able to watch the progress from the outside. So it's pretty exciting. But anyway, this was anticipated. Again, no hard date, but it was likely anticipated to be coming out probably end of 2021, again, to coincide with the 50th anniversary for the Walt Disney World Resort. But it is now, we got the same word on this one that they're going to finish the outside just to make it look nice. The entrance, the building, the show building, just so it looks good for guests coming to do the other stuff. But they're going to halt construction through most of 2021 and then pick back up at the end of next year and have it done in 2022. Keep in mind that this ties into the next ride too, is that 2021 is the 50th anniversary of the of just the Walt Disney World Resort. I mean, technically Magic Kingdom, but of just the whole Walt Disney World Resort. It's considered a birthday, 1971. So 2021, 50 years, right? And they had all, oh my gosh, the list of stuff they had planned to celebrate it was incredible. Years and years of planning and developing. And that's all gone now because of COVID-19 and a lot of the cost cutting they've had to do. So, but there are, you know, they didn't cut everything. And one of the ones that they didn't cut were these, right? Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. But the following year, 2022, is the 40th anniversary of Epcot. You know, Epcot came out in 1982, so 2022 will be its 40th anniversary. And on a side note, and a personal note, Sean Nyberg, me, your host, 2022 will also be my 40th birthday year because I was born in 1982. So that just hit me while I was talking about it. So that's kind of fun. Anyway, so, you know, some of these Epcot projects that were supposed to be done up and ready to go for all the crowds coming for the 50th anniversary in fall of 2021, being pushed to 2022, they can, you know, it works perfect. While not ideal, it does work great because they can just weave it into a 40th anniversary celebration for Epcot. So we have that happening. And then the reason I said I had one more ride in Epcot, this isn't about the rumors. This is just something that's kind of going around and people are talking a lot about it is, you know, we have Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. It's a new ride. Well, new ride for Epcot. It's a clone of Disney's of a ride they have of the same name, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, out in Paris, and the ride has been built in the France Pavilion at Epcot, and it is basically done. I mean, it was supposed to be opening this summer, I believe, maybe even early summer, late spring. So it was getting pretty close to being done when the pandemic hit, so it didn't have much to go. And there's been construction on it since the parks have opened back up. But, you know, and this is where people who have been following the parks for decades, you know, this is where some of their expertise come in. And they were just, you know, the overall thought right now is that they could open it right now, but with attendance capped at 25%, and they have really short hours right now for the parks there. I think like 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., you know, really short hours. There's so many restrictions in terms of social distancing and just a lot of stuff that would make contrary to a large ride event. You know, they want to present this ride as a big event and as a really big because it didn't replace anything. So like it's like Epcot with Remy's is getting a whole like is getting a ride. Oftentimes we replace rides, but here they're just getting another ride, and it's a cool ride, really cool ride, trackless ride vehicle with screens and practical effects, and it's really amazing. And also based off of Ratatouille, which people just love. So, the question then is, so, you know, if it's done now, why not release it? The thought is, well, they don't want to do a big ride reveal during the COVID-19 pandemic because they want crowds to come to it. And so it can, you know, you get all the social media attention for the ride for a couple days, weeks, a month, maybe, you know, everyone talking about it. But you can't really do it, but you don't during these times, even if you're open, you don't want large crowds of people coming to anything, right? You know, like they just can't have people just like swarming the France Pavilion right now. So, I think they're probably done, and gun to their head, they probably could get this thing up and running in the next couple weeks. But I think that they're just going to sit back and hold off, you know, and let's just be honest, they're not bringing in as much money as they normally do in terms of ticket sales because they have to keep attendance low, and they're not selling as much stuff as they normally do because some of the restaurants are closed and some of the shops are closed. So, you know, Disney's not getting a lot of income right now. And so just because you've already built and paid for the ride, it does cost money to run it, and it costs money to, you know, to have cast members run it. So I do see that it does make sense for them to hold back. You know, this part's all speculation, but you know, if we can get some good news on the vaccine front around the first of the year, slowly trickle out to people, and you know, we start seeing some good changes in terms of the COVID-19 numbers in late winter, early spring, I could see this thing being released or being opened in spring 2021, maybe. So, but yeah, so we got a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff going on at Walt Disney World that we're keeping an eye on. So, yeah, there's that. So that's it for the parks right now, you know, mixed bag of news, just a lot of stuff, everything. COVID-19's got its thing, you know, I promise you that COVID-19 has its fingerprints on everything in your life right now, because it sure does have in everything in my life. And, you know, Disney's not immune to this. If anything, it's even more susceptible because of what they offer and how they offer it. You know, it's like a sitting duck with these kind of pandemics. So, but they're going to get through it, and we're going to be able to look back on this one day and just say, man, I wished everyone would have just listened to the simple advice earlier. But anyway, moving over to Disney Plus, over here at the Diz Insider, we have a small update regarding a long in development live action adaptation. Wow, saying that out loud. Long in development live action adaptation of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, based on the 90s series of the same name. So we learned that production for the live-action CGI hybrid is set to begin filming next spring in Los Angeles. This will be an original film made for Disney Plus. So that'll be fun. I also always got confused about like who is Chip and which one is Dale. I took my niece to character breakfast at Goofy's Kitchen in Disneyland Hotel in Anaheim. And one of them came up to us, and I was like, I had no idea if it was Chip or if it was Dale. And finally someone told me, like someone who worked there was like, Chip is the one with the brown nose that looks like a chocolate chip. And I was like, oh, I'll never forget that. So Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers, they have a live action / CGI, live action CGI hybrid. And it'll be coming to, it'll be an original film coming to Disney Plus. So does not look like this one's going to be going to theaters. Most of you already know that Friday, October 30th, is the premiere of The Mandalorian Season 2 on Disney Plus. Disney ran a new trailer for the series last week on ESPN's Monday Night Football, and the season, if you look at the two trailers, I believe, that are available now, the season looks like it is full of a lot more action, and it even looks like we get to see some new lands that we have never seen before. So, I mean, I'm going to tell you, don't miss it this Friday, but I'm sure most of you listening, or a lot of you listening, will not miss it. It's a personal favorite of mine in terms of Star Wars properties, and so I'm very excited for season two. Very, very excited. So, some more Disney Plus news. The surprise hit, Diary of a Future President on Disney Plus, has officially started production on its second season. Disney Plus released the news on their official Twitter account that they were working on season two. And when they did that, they also shared some footage of the cast learning the news that they will have a second season. You know, when, you know, you film a season, you don't always know ratings, especially when you're on a streaming service, because streaming services like Netflix and Apple and Hulu and, you know, all of them, Amazon, you know, there's no way for a third party to know exactly what the viewership is for these shows, because, you know, Disney and Netflix, they want to keep that stuff secret. Because they can use that information, and if it's bad, they don't want to like tell everyone that their new show no one watched. The point is, the actors did not know that this show was going to get picked up. And so there's a video of them being told that it's getting picked up for season two. And it's just really cute. And so we have the announcement and we have the video footage on our website at thedizinsider.com. So go there and check it out. It's really cool. So in more Disney Plus news, more Disney Plus production news, we have learned that Chosen Jacobs, the actor Chosen Jacobs from the movie It, and Lexi Underwood from Little Fires Everywhere will star alongside NBA great John Sally in a new Disney Plus original movie, Sneakerella. Sneakerella. This will be a pop hip-hop musical take on the Cinderella fairy tale. It is set in the avant-garde street sneaker subculture of New York City. And while we don't have a release date announced, we do know that it is being produced for a Disney Plus release. So just keep an eye on Disney Plus. Keep your ear here on the Disney beat, or keep your eyes on thedizinsider.com to get more information on this. But it seems pretty interesting, and I love it. I love new takes on some of the classics, and sounds like it's got an amazing cast. So speaking of a new take on a classic, we also learned that the magical world of George Lucas's Willow, the epic fantasy adventure, will be returning in a Disney Plus series slated to begin production in 2021, so next year. John Chu, the director of the smash hit Crazy Rich Asians, is set to direct the pilot episode. The director of the original film, Ron Howard, is returning as executive producer of the series. So that's exciting. I remember I told you the year of my birth earlier. So, you know, you probably know that I am that prime age for that movie Willow. I definitely had a copy of the VHS cassette when I was a kid and watched it over and over and over. It was fantastic. I didn't actually realize until I was much older that, you know, George Lucas, the gentleman, the man behind, you know, Star Wars and Indiana Jones was behind Willow, which is great. And so they are lined up to turn it into a series for Disney Plus, and they got some amazing people on board, which is really exciting. So we also got some news that the Marvel Studios Disney Plus series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, is wrapping up production, and the series is, okay, let me get this more proper. The Falcon and Winter Soldier, they are wrapping up production soon, and the series is still shrouded in mystery. However, we do know that the series takes place post-Endgame, and as we all watched, Sam Wilson, aka the Falcon, was given the famous Captain America shield from an elderly Steve Rogers. Now, according to a series writer, Derek Kolstad, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier will expand the Marvel Cinematic Universe while also diving into the past. While speaking with Script Apart podcast, Kolstad teased that we may be seeing some familiar faces return. Who these familiar faces might be is still unknown, but fans are making their own guesses, or at least expressing their hopes. So yes, we got this project coming up with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and it seems like it's going to be very big, going, you know, talking about going back to back to old characters, and also, you know, meeting new characters. This is really exciting, and I'm just very excited for some of these Marvel Studio Disney Plus series to start coming, you know, WandaVision and stuff like that. And I really think that it's going to really improve the the rewatchability of some of the Disney Plus series, and really just bring in a little bit older crowd. While Disney Plus does have an older fan base, right now, you know, they have The Mandalorian, and there's some National Geographic stuff, and, you know, there's stuff like Hamilton, but they just need a few of these series that they come back to every week, you know, to get a new episode. And I just think, we're so close. And a lot of this stuff was going to be done, but, you know, and I'm going to say it again, the COVID-19 pandemic obviously, you know, tore up any schedule that they had. So this is very cool. So this is coming down the road. And they've the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they wrapped up production too. So we're very close to the series. Over to the films, to Disney films. I was so excited when this came out and that we had it reported on the Disney Insider. The very exciting trailer for Disney Animation's newest feature film, Raya and the Last Dragon, was released this week. You can see the entire trailer over at thedisinsider.com. The film was set to be released this fall, but was pushed back a number of times due to COVID-19. The film centers on a lone warrior whose mission is to track down the legendary Last Dragon in a bid to save Kumandra and unite its lands. The film features voices of Kelly Marie Tran from the Star Wars sequel trilogy and Awkwafina as the dragon Sisu. Walt Disney Animation Studios' Raya and the Last Dragon opens in U.S. theaters on March 12th, 2021. And like I said earlier, we have the trailer and we have movie posters on our website at thedizinsider.com. This movie looks absolutely fantastic. It's an original new movie for Disney, Disney Animation. And, you know, it's got some of the people working on it are some of the people who worked on Frozen and Moana. And it's just got the spirit and it's got the, you know, it's got a lot of action and stuff, but you can tell it's got the humor and everything just from those movies that we just love. And I'm just really excited for this. I'm really excited for my nieces and my nephew, you know, to get a new animated film. And it just looks like it's just going to be great. So really looking forward to this one. So go check it out if you haven't. Also, over at the live action. Okay. Oh, so also over the live action. So they're doing a Cruella de Vil original film called Cruella. Okay. So it's the origin movie of Cruella de Vil called Cruella. The project is currently in post-production and only 6 months away from hitting the big screen. We learned that John McCrae, who headlined the stage version of Everybody's Talking About Jamie, which Disney has turned into a big screen movie, which will be out later this year, he will also appear in the 101 Dalmatian prequel in a supporting role. His character details are being kept under wraps, but we know that his character is going by the name Artie. Emma Stone plays the villainess, Emma Thompson as the baroness, Paul Walter Hauser and Joel Fry as Cruella's classic henchmen, Jasper and Horace. Emily Beechma likely is playing Anita, Mark Strong as the Baron, and Killing Eve star Kirby Howell-Baptiste is currently in an unknown role. So the production wrapped before the Hollywood shutdown due to COVID-19. So now we're in the post-production part and it is being directed by Craig Gillespie, who, worked on I, Tonya, the, what do they call that? Like, it's not a like a mockumentary, I guess, of the Tonya Harding, thing, you know, at the Olympics, you know, when she took out Nancy Kerrigan. So that was actually a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, it's really good. And the Cruella is looking to hit theaters on May 28th, 2021. So another, like a full legit live action origin story of a female villain. I'm very excited. So Cruella, May 28th, 2001. And just, you know, That's it for like all the news, but just want to look back quickly and just say, you know, a lot of these projects and a lot of the stuff at the parks are affected by COVID-19. So, you know, the dates are going to change and shift around, you know, as everyone tries to adjust their schedules and, you know, people get sick. Sometimes things get shut down. So, you know, bear with us, but we're one of the great things we have here at the Disney Insider is that we, you know, we have access to some of the, you know, we have some of the access to get news before anyone else does about changes in plans, changes in dates, you know, new trailers, new info regarding the parks, you know, so we're going to, I will have that news here on the Disney Beat podcast. We'll have it on, and on the website, thedisinsider.com. And, just follow us because these things change. And even if they don't change, it's just really fun to see, like, hear about a movie that is in development, which means, you know, they're getting the cast together, whatever. And then you hear about the cast, and then you hear they're shooting, and then you hear they're in post-production. Then we get a picture, then we get a trailer, you know, and we follow these shows and movies all the way through. And then also with the parks, you know, we follow all those projects all the way through. So, you know, just stick with me every Monday when these come out, and stick... we'll just do the spiel right now about all our social media. So all of the stories can be found on the DizInsider.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the handle, the Diz Insider, all one word, or on Facebook by searching for the Diz Insider. You can follow me. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sean Nyberg. That's S-E-A-N. N-Y-B-E-R-G, all one word, at Sean Nyberg. I also co-host the Disney podcast, Walt's Apartment, that comes out every Thursday, and the Disney Parks-themed podcast, Extra Magic Hour, which is released every other week on Fridays. So check those out. Thank you again for listening. I will see you here again next week for another edition of the Disney Beat Podcast. My name is Sean Nyberg, and I hope you have a fantastic week. Thank you.